Take two.
Here we are. again.
Hello
you
and
don't
welcome.
Know that it's again, but yeah. We're here again.
Hello and welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Sidecar Coffee Podcast. Woo! My name is Lewis.
And I'm Caleb. And we're back.
Yeah. We're like.
Well, if you I mean, we didn't go anywhere, but like.
We're back together.
We're back in the stew.
The stew. We're in the stew. For sure. For the immediate future, just for a little bit.
A few months.
In the perspective of life, a few seconds. Anyway, today.
I don't know what you just quoted,
today,
but cool.
Today, we're drinking a sidecar.
Yeah.
Caleb, what's a sidecar?
A sidecar, in our case, is a milk beverage, small, like, milk beverage
just
with.
Low beverage.
It's a small espresso based milk beverage with the same espresso used in that milk beverage served on the side. So you can really taste the effects of milk on coffee and how coffee translates through milk.
Yeah. So today we got a 5 ounce or four. This is a 5 ounce cup.
5.5.
5 ounce quart. Well, then would it be a flat white?
Flat white. I don't know.
Cortado, maybe flat white. And then we have a shot of espresso. We're drinking a summer blend from Metric.
Yeah, we are.
Do you want to speak on that?
I think I'll speak on it. So it's a half and half blend of a washed Colombia, washed Ethiopia, and it's nice. It's really nice. I got the amazing opportunity to actually go out to Chicago this past weekend and visit Metric. And Lewis has visited Metric before, so we'll speak on it.
Shout out Metric. What they do is awesome. How they value-wise, I think as a company, they're dope. Certified B Corporation.
I was just about to say, you want to explain that?
It just means that you are... hello there.
there's a
buggo on the wall.
It's a bug's life, man.
Here, you can drink this. Yeah, he's going to... Watch the buggo.
No bugs were harmed in the making of this podcast.
Anyway, what B Corporation really means is... just like caring about transparency as a company, being very true to your morals. You get a certification based on like your transparency report and how you run your company on, you know, traceability as a company and everything that you do.
It also has to deal with like how much you're paying for your coffee, direct trade. Direct relationships with farmers, and the quality of your coffee.
Yeah, so you're certified by B-Lab, and it just is a company that measures social and environmental performance on certain standards. And it's a big deal to be B-Corp certified. It is... a good thing. So definitely support your B corporations. There's many and many different industries. I just literally had a coconut water that was B Corp.
Oh, so, I don't drink coconut water, so
it's dope.
Nope.
But it's like a natural Gatorade, dude, and you get some nice potassium. But anyway, there's I think another B corporation, Rosso, Olympia, are the other two I can think of. For sure.
Rosso's nice. I like Rosso.
B Corp certified off the top of my head, but we've tried other places. It's just really cool to see. And again, like just supporting people that care and want to keep pushing forward in this industry to be sustainable and you know, care about the people that are producing this coffee that we enjoy. So
yeah.
Yeah. Shout out Fair Wages, you know.
Shout out Fair Life.
Yeah, for real. Humanity. For real, for real. Anyway, so yeah, this coffee's great. An espresso.
I like it. It's
like a you're biting into like a ripe cherry.
Yeah.
Nice and stone fruity, a little plum. It's really I would say it's like a rich coffee, like it's
Yeah.
It's a little thicker and some nice sweetness on the end, but it's really voluptuous.
It's also lingering. Like it sticks on the tongue for sure. It's like a sticky coffee.
It hangs out.
Yeah. Don't we all? It's also got some nuttiness to it.
Going into the court.
Court.
I think this one's a little bit more limey. Like almost like lemony off the front. At least as it cools. But it still has that like cherry, berry, cobbler type deal going on. Almost like a tart.
I'm getting so much nuttiness from it, though. I don't know. I have like no acidity.
Yeah.
But it's really nice.
More of like a raw honey floral.
Raw honey. Pecans. Maybe some acorns if you're a squirrel.
I don't know, man. I wouldn't speak for the acorn. I've never personally eaten an acorn.
They're hard to bite into, so I don't know.
Got you.
Squirrel's got the big chunkers.
Squirrels
know
it's good. We need to get some flavor calls from a squirrel.
Yeah, shout out squirrels.
Anyway, right. So yeah, we already recorded like half this episode. my mic wasn't recording, so
it's not on.
It was just Caleb talking,
which is not something anyone wants to hear. So we figured we'd stop.
So yeah, we hit that reset button. Now, what are we talking about today, Caleb?
So today we'll be talking. It's kind of a topic we've kind of wanted to hit on for a while. We just didn't know how. I didn't know like how to phrase it, whatever. But we want to just kind of talk about the roles within a company as a cafe or roastery as a whole, and how to connect those roles to feel that your communication's connected around the board, that you are everybody's feeling valued, everybody's feeling all the love from all the different places. Especially as a company grows bigger, those different positions start to spread out more and you see less and less, especially when it comes to upper management, or if you're a roastery, your roasters. Sometimes roasters never step foot in the shops, and it's just something that we wanted to talk about that can help people kind of understand, like, when you're walking into a cafe for the first time as a customer or as a new employee, how you can gauge whether or not the communication and overall quality of work is nice.
Yeah. I think listening to this episode, you can gain a lot of information about why you enjoy a cafe, because you'll be able to, like, see certain things. And I think, you know, if you want to be in the industry, you can kind of gauge from like as a barista or as a manager or as a roaster, you know, what can I do? Or even a business owner, like what maybe should I be thinking about? Or if I'm looking over something, or if I'm doing something that's appreciated by others, it's not like me and Caleb are business owners, you know, but we also have, experience in this industry, care deeply and
just a little bit. We got a pretty good resume built.
So. But yeah, so we're just going to be talking about this today.
Yeah.
We have a lot of conversations that we can talk extensively over, and then we're like, you know, we should do a podcast episode over that. So this has just been some like gripes from, you know, our recent travels that we've seen maybe in a cafe, or just like things that we've seen online that, oh, you know, like we should talk about that. So yeah. We're going to talk about it. So
let's
starting off.
We're gonna also break down, kind of break this down. We're going to start with the different roles, and we'll kind of just go over basic responsibilities of each role and kind of where you should be putting your energy into.
At least what we think.
From our experience.
Yes.
In our case.
Yeah, starting off as a business owner, opening up a cafe, roastery, coffee spot. What should be kind of going through your head? But I would say, first of all, passion. You know, I care about coffee.
Yeah.
I take pride in serving coffee. I want other people to join this good coffee world. If you are opening up a coffee business to make a profit, or just to own a business, and you're like, oh, I can make money in coffee, you know, everybody likes coffee.
Everybody loves drinking coffee at a spot.
Yeah, don't do that.
No, nope,
it is nope. A very expensive industry to go into. If you want to, you probably won't make profit for the first 3 years if you're doing everything right. And again, there's just a lot of, you know, different things that you have to worry about on top of like opening up a business, like going into coffee, you know,
yeah.
What machine am I going to get? What water am I going to use? What cups am I going to do? I have to buy all these different size cups. I have to buy these different milk pitchers. I have to worry about keeping my produce fresh.
Are you going to have a kitchen?
What fridges are you going to have? Are you going to have a blender? Like,
are you going to have a dine-in space? Are you to go only? Are you like, what's up? I think also going off of that, I was just thinking like, as a business owner going into opening up a cafe and you're not passionate about coffee, and you're just buying equipment on a whim, like you do no research, you're gonna end up with a wonky bar setup. Like if you're just buying like stuff to save money, you're not gonna get the best quality bang for the buck, and you're gonna be maintaining things all the time.
Yeah,
and especially if you buy like secondhand. Yeah, that's just not,
and like just random like buy, brand buy espresso once, cry machine
once.
Yeah, or
buy once cry once.
Random grinder. It's like, what even is that? You know, like the first thing I do when I'm looking at going to a coffee place is what espresso machine do they have, or what grinders do they
always
have?
Always look in their Instagram, see if they got pictures of the bar.
Yeah. And honestly, as a business owner, you know, you should want to show that off. You know, that comes with pride. You know, I hold myself to this standard. I bought this machine. I have these grinders. This is the standard that I uphold.
Right.
And I think that's really important. I think opening up a place you don't really care about, or you just want to make, you're going to cut all of these corners and your experience is going to suck. And you're going to drive people out of this industry. And, you know, like a customer goes in there, they had crappy coffee served in a way that wasn't for bringing people into coffee or representing this coffee or caring about them at all.
Yeah.
And then you push them out and they don't like coffee anymore.
Now look, we completely understand and we're well aware that a lot of the customer base is just going to be to go and probably just like flavored lattes, and they're not all up for the presentation, the experience. Look, get it. That's fine. But you as a business owner should be attempting to make every form of experience the best experience ever. Mm-hmm. Like to the point where they always come back. One of the things that I like firmly believe in as a manager is like how the person feels when they walk in the door and then when they walk out the door. I think a lot of people get really caught up in like welcoming people in and like, hey, how are you? And it gets a little they come off a little strong at the front end, but like no one ever focuses how they feel when they walk out.
Mm-hmm.
Like when they're walking out is when they're deciding if they're coming back. So I think one,
that lasting impression.
Yeah, like I always say beyond the counter service is one of my things. Having a like small theater background, like I always think of the bar as like breaking the fourth wall when you jump out, or not jump out. No one's jumping off the bar, right? But when you reach out and you're like, hey, like how's your day? How are you? Where are you from? What brought you in here? You know, stuff like that, little things like that as they're going away, like from the bar as they're leaving, like you should always want them to feel like, oh, that was such a cool thing, or like that was a cool experience.
Yeah, like that person actually cared about me. That's weird.
Oh, weird concept. Yeah.
I think trying to spread that as a business owner, and especially like if you're in your cafe, which hopefully you are, I think it's good for everybody to work on bar. And not only, you know, like as a barista, I'll jump ahead a little bit, like being able to work with the owner, first of all, holds you at a certain standard because you're not going to slack off if you're right next to the owner.
It's like, oh my gosh, that's the owner. Stand right there. Got to make sure my shots are perfect. Make sure my milk's perfect.
It makes you guys on a personal level, but it also, you're representing your company on the front lines. So as a customer, you know, being like, are you the owner? Yeah. Hanging out.
Yeah.
Serving Joe, dude.
Just slinging Spro.
I think that's really cool to see. But getting back to, I guess, like business owner, like what you should be setting up for this to run smooth is just cohesiveness within going through all your spaces. Whether you're opening up a cafe, how can I provide the best experience for everybody? You know, not only the customer, but what am I doing bar flow wise that my baristas can pump stuff out, but also to the point where it's not completely automated. I think that's important for me. I think opening up a specialty cafe, I don't want it to feel like a Starbucks.
No, never. Your employees should feel good. It should feel like man, I'm hyped to
come to work today.
On an awesome espresso machine with awesome grinders, and
I'm set up for victory. Yeah,
our milk pitchers are cool. Like the cups are cool. Like it should feel cool. Being barista, like I think it's a cool job. I think a lot of people look at it as a cool job, and people want it.
Yeah.
You know,
going back to that episode we did with Frank Law, and he talks about like all the different kind of things you are as a barista.
Yes.
It's cool. You know, not a lot of people think about that, but you're you're a part of a lot of people's day.
Yeah.
And I think it is important to keep that mindset of, you know, be the reason why, set the customer up to have a good day. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like you have that small 3, 5, 10 minute span of talking to them.
Yeah.
See what you can do, you know, try to leave your fingerprints on them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
In a good way.
Yeah. And I think too, the same thing can also be said as a business owner. Like when you're listing off things that you are, like with a barista, you're an educator, you're a scientist, you're sometimes a therapist, you're also a food service worker. Yeah. Like you're a teacher. You're so much. As a business owner, you're all that and more. You're also a businessman. You're an entrepreneur. You're
representing you. You're representing you. This is your business. Yeah. This is on your resume. This is your brand.
Everything that happens is on you, regardless if it was your fault or not. Like everything is because of you. Everything is a branch of you. And so really finding out what you is and what you means to you, that I think that also goes a long way. Also just like realizing that this isn't the dream job for a lot of people. Like, I think for us, like, working on a bar is sick. Like, I love it. But for a lot of people, it's not. Like, it's just a job, like a little side gig while they're in college or while they're waiting on to hear back from other jobs. You know, there's other little things. So, like, making them realize that this is a pretty cool job, making them feel valued, is also another job of the business owner. Realizing that in the restaurant industry, there's already a lot of really high turnover, so they can leave whenever they want. So, I don't know, just appreciating the people that are with you, even if it's from 2 weeks or if it's 2 years, you know, these people could be with you.
Learn their names.
Yeah.
know people's names.
No people's
names. I feel like
that's,
you're paying them. Your name's on their paycheck. You should know their name.
Yeah, if you're literally depositing money in their account, you should know their names every time. Not the, who are you? Like, I'm sorry. I don't care how many locations you have. I don't care if you have one location or if you have 15 across a large metropolitan area. Know their names.
Yeah.
Know everybody's names. Make it an attempt to know everybody's names.
100%. Because
you do that with customers already. So why not do it with the people behind the bar?
Mm.
Or the people back in the kitchen? You know, if you have a kitchen, it's not always about the bar people all the time. It's about everybody within the space. Make sure your kitchen's taken care of.
Don't sleep on your kitchen staff.
No, back of house is.
That's how you
best.
Make your money.
Yeah. Yes.
Anybody opening up a coffee place? Invest in your non-coffee. I'm not saying don't invest in coffee.
Yeah. Yeah.
No way, shape, or form.
Invest in it, all of it. But
however, do not sleep on the food, on the pastries.
This is something that we can actually speak
kitchen.
On with our pop up. 70% of our sales were our pastries.
Yeah.
We sold out of them. 70% of the sales was that. It was insane to see. But I don't know. It's just these are
you
things.
You shouldn't look at your pastry case and go ooh.
Yeah.
like what is that? Is that a scone or a muffin or what is
this?
That?
This is something I think I will repeat across the board in this episode. Know what it is like to be in your space. If you do not know what it's like to be in your space as a customer, if it's your day off as a business owner, everybody needs a day off. I don't think business owners should be in their cafes 24/7 unless you're literally the only one that works, then maybe close on Sunday. But come in on a busy day without people knowing that you're coming in and stand in line. Experience what it's like to stand in line at your shop, because that's where a lot of people make the decision if they're going to stay or go.
Mm-hmm.
And also if they feel like they're not being there's no attention on them. There's their needs aren't being met. Then you got some fixing to do. So really find where those holes are within your business. So stand in line, wait for your drink. Don't jump behind the bar and make your own drink. Like as much as you want to, and as much as it sucks to see people making your own drink, like just once or twice, just sit down. Let them serve you. Really see
experience
what your team is doing.
Experience your experience.
Experience your experience. Ah,
wow.
Fire.
Yeah, I think as a business owner, you know, just setting up your place to represent your brand, to represent your values, and make sure that's transparent through all processes of service, of customer interaction, everything. And you know, you should be proud to do that. You should want to do that. That should be not something you're searching after, but the expectation.
Yeah.
And so after that, all right, I'm a business owner. I opened up a coffee place. I invested in all this stuff.
I'm such an amazing business owner.
Let's do a roasting program.
Yeah, let's do it.
That is a rabbit hole and a half. If you thought opening up a cafe was hard,
just wait.
Look at roasting bills. Let's just
the fact that you literally have to outfit a space for it. Like if you're going to do it within the same space, there's a lot of there's a lot of like regulations, a lot of laws that you have to follow that you have to outfit the space for with certain types of equipment. So that's a whole thing that we're not going to talk about. Like that's just, we could literally do a whole episode on opening a roastery. But you are the roaster. All right. Let's say you're either cafe owner / roaster, or you're just the roaster. You got hired on with this company to take this program to a new level. So what are your responsibilities? What should you be focusing on?
Patience
there.
And willingness to learn, willingness to ask questions, because there's going to be a lot of that. Developing a roasting program is
hard.
Is very hard.
Very, very hard.
You know, what roaster am I going to have? What do we have a budget for? What green can I buy? How much green can I buy? Where am I going to develop a menu?
Where am I going to buy green from?
Yeah.
I mean, there's lots of third parties to choose from, but there's some, do your research on the different middlemen to go through. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many good companies out there, but there's also some weird ones. Yeah. That
not are. Saying like don't do a roastery, like absolutely.
Oh,
if
no,
you can
do
roast
it.
Your own coffee and you have the like, do it. 100%.
If that is something you're passionate about, do it. But I also think this is another thing that it has to come from passion, not oh I just want to flex and like open a roastery and say we roast our own coffee.
Yeah.
Like saying you're
let's crank
you roast
that. Let's 15 minutes this 400, let's go.
Yeah, that saying you roast your own coffee is a giant umbrella statement. But do you roast your coffee well? Do you actually know what's happening inside the roaster? Probably not, if you're just doing it for fun. So really have passion behind it. But you as a roaster. So I think one of the biggest flaws in and where people fall into this weird hole is the roasters kind of disappear when they become a roaster. And because there's a lot of focus on there's so much to focus on in a roaster.
It's like that's the main part of your, you know, you own a cafe, what are you serving? Coffee. I have to roast this coffee, so I'm pretty important, right?
Yeah, you are pretty important as a roaster.
But don't let that go to your head. I think a lot of places, that's the roaster.
He's our roaster.
I'm the roaster. Yeah.
It's like
you're not that cool.
Like, you ain't God.
Obviously, if it's Scott Rowe, like I will start bowing.
That is the roaster, not like just the roaster. Our roaster. That is the roaster. But
perhaps Tim Wundebo as well.
Yeah.
I think be humble. You do have an important job, but you're not untouchable. And I also think as a roaster, what can I do to constantly, I guess, like poke people about coffee? So I think what I want to see a good roaster do is, you know, if I'm good at my job, I'm an experienced roaster, I know what I'm doing. I'm pretty good at QCing. Even if I have my Q grader license or I'm inviting the baristas, I'm inviting the owner, I'm want to do public cuppings, I want to do classes, I am entering roasting competitions, I'm asking people to try these roasts, I'm asking people to taste the difference between these drop times, these development times, I'm roasting a 90 point coffee, I'm roasting a 84 point coffee, and I'm learning the difference between roasting this processing method and this processing method. Do not get comfortable. If I can roast one coffee and I'm only going to do one coffee and I'm never going to do anything different, I'm just going to press the default button every single time.
You are a robot, not a roaster.
Yeah.
Roasters roast all coffee.
This is the roasting job is something that's beautiful. And yeah, you could say, oh, I'm just going to put headphones in and view a graph and I'm going to sit in this chair. I think it's a little bit more than that.
A little bit. I think also too, like your lineup as a roaster is also an expression of you and the brand. Like the coffees that you're bringing in, the coffees that you're opening up for people to try. Like, the goal is approachability all the time and accessibility. You want people to be able to access different kinds of coffees as well as their basic coffees whenever they want. So I think you as a roaster, you're probably one of the biggest educators, honestly, within the company. And so your lineup says so much about you. So if you – I always say that you should – I love seasonal blends. I do. I think that is such a fun way for a roaster to experience putting coffees together, seeing how coffees work together.
Tasting the difference between the ratios of different beans that you're putting into the blend, what this coffee does with this coffee, seeing how that improves or doesn't improve the taste or the experience. What is it like in milk?
Bring out some single origins too.
I think, honestly, if blends scare you, you don't have to do them.
You don't have to.
You absolutely do not have to do that.
No one said you had to. I said I like when people do it. But also, your lineup says so much about you, and it what you're putting into the cafe. It gets people excited. It gets people interested. And the whole mission we're here for is to get people into coffee, or it should be. And also it keeps people's
or get people to care about coffee.
Yeah, get people to care and also to
and that comes with education. That comes with like I think a lot of this is where a lot of coffee companies kind of get lost is I'm going to do coffee so well.
Yeah.
And the owner and the roaster are on the same page and they're roasting and producing these great coffees. And that's great for the niche of absolute coffee enthusiasts that go there.
Yeah.
But majority of your sales and the people that come into your place don't have the palate. Also don't really know much. And so throwing these high, like well-known names in the industry at them or these processing methods or these higher point coffees and weird brewing methods, like that's a lot. And you're going to end up losing more people than gaining.
Yeah. Most of the time people don't care, like, but there's a way to do it to get people to care.
100%.
I think also too, you should be the biggest resource as the roaster. Mm-hmm. You're the one that's hands-on with the coffee, knowing where it's coming from, building relationships with sourcing companies and farmers and really, you're the biggest hands-on with it, but you're also not the final step in the supply chain too. The final step is always the barista, and I think you as a roaster should probably put the barista above yourself every time because they're the ones that are serving the coffee. They're the ones brewing all of it. So really, being an educator and an open resource for your baristas.
Think about service.
Always
think about service.
But also, you can't keep service in mind and you cannot put things in a cafe if you don't know the cafe.
Mm-hmm.
I think every roaster should at least once a week or once every 2 weeks work a shift on bar. Just be in the cafe. Whether that's you, I'm actually in the process of applying for different jobs and in my emails to them, I'm literally saying like, well, in the interview processes, I'm already planning, yes, if I take on this position, I want to work a day in the cafes every week. I want that put into my 40 hours a week salary. Like, I want that experience so I know how I'm marketing different things or like as a roaster, like I know what I can put in the cafe that'll actually work and it's what like, people are excited for.
And pushing the culture, you know, through all levels of the company. And, you know, I think as a roaster, you're working really hands-on with the owner if you're not the owner. You guys are working really, really close together because, you know, the roaster's buying your coffee, roasting the coffee that you're selling. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
And I think absolutely that has to be there. That connection between owner and roaster has to be there. But do not get lost there.
Yeah, don't get lost. Don't get lost in the sauce.
Do not get lost in the sauce. I think these two people always need to ask questions to each other. And I think a lot of people look over QC.
Oh, yes.
And that's quality control.
Quality control.
So, like, either asking questions about your roast profile, your current offering lineup, and, even just like your cafe recipes. You know, what am I telling my baristas to do on espresso? What pour overs are we doing? Or even like cold brew or specialty drinks, like all of these different things.
Yep.
You should be thinking about as a roaster and as the business owner and pushing through to the next kind of stage here, which is our GMs, our general managers. Whether you just have a shift lead or you have a general manager over an entire store, this is most of the time the next person in line between you go top owner, then the roaster, and then your GM or your
general manager. I would also put roaster and GM kind of on the same plane. But roaster is just a whole nother area. Like, they're basically, they're almost the same as a GM of a cafe, but they're just GMing the roastery.
Yeah.
So with a GM, like, or just manager of a cafe manager or a shift lead, your biggest responsibility should be being the leader of service every time. I think you are the one that people are always going to look up to for problems. You're going to be the one that people look to as like
your job is 24/7.
Yeah, all the time. You will always have to be on.
You will always have to be texting someone. You will not get free time. Even on your days off, you're going to get a text at 5:30 in the morning that someone doesn't want to come into work today.
Womp womp.
Well, looks like I'm working today.
Looks like I'm not playing pickleball today. But, you know, I find it really funny when people just want to be managers to be in charge, because that's like that being in charge is like 10% of the job.
Yeah.
Like the other 90% is a whole mix of different things.
And like this is also, you know, stemming off of everybody has to be driven off passion. It's like you're going to hate your job.
Yeah.
If you don't enjoy running a team, representing and like understanding and representing the morals of your company, and directly pouring that into your team, your staff, and your location. I think this person is honestly, I might even argue, the most important in this whole ladder.
Yeah.
Because you are the bridge between front of house cafe and the management side, the corporate admin.
Most of the times, like when the owner's not there, you still have to be the one to communicate everything. There, most of the time, when the owner is there, people are still telling you things. They're not going to go to the owner to tell them, hey, this is broken or we need this.
I think definitely saying we. I think being in this role of a general manager, do not be scared. Like, don't be scared of your owner. And I think as a business owner, you need to be close with this general manager. Like, I think having that, you know, obviously that respect that this is, you know, my boss and the owner of the business I work for. But also, I shouldn't be scared to bring up like, hey, we need this.
We need XYZ. We need new pitchers.
We had a problem with this. You know, like.
Yeah.
And I think as a business owner, you need to be open to that. And this is the cost of opening a business, whether or not, you know, you're angry that you have to buy a new retail fridge, or the way that you're selling your bags isn't working, or the presentation of this thing, I think could be better like this. I think being open to things like that is very, very important.
Yeah. I think also, as a leader, like you should always, I'm just going to talk about like my overall thought process and like philosophy and being a manager, and building a culture. I think building a culture is also a huge part about being a manager. You're the one that's there the most. So
this is your shop.
Yeah, it's your shop. Like, the owner can tell you, I really want us to go in this direction with things, but you're the one that implements it. But I think
you're on the front of lines, dude.
Going back to the same thing we were saying about business owners, how someone feels when they walk in and out of the door is something you should really care about. But also, don't put a lot of your focus in recipes and making sure drinks are perfect and making sure that, you know, everybody says hi or bye or how are you. Like that's a lot of little things that if you put your individual energy into all those little things, it's going to be exhausting.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that I always think about and try to keep in the back of my mind and really lead by is I push my team to be the best version of themselves every single day. And great coffee and great service is always just a great product byproduct of that.
Yeah.
So if you are investing your time, your effort into growing these people, because a lot of times people are just like, yeah, I'm doing a great job. I make drinks well. My latte art, it's there. Like, I can put a heart on top. And it's like, yeah, that's cool. But did you say hey to this guest when they walk in? Oh, no. But it's like, are you – or asking, like, are you checking in with your employees? Like, are you happy with your – with how the shop is right now, or is there anything you'd need?
I think that's really
investing
important.
In yeah. them.
I think as a general manager, it is your job to make sure all your employees are valued and get everything that they need. And as a business owner, pay everybody good. Holy crap. Make people want to come into work. Everybody feel valued.
Let's be the industry that takes down tip service and the tip.
Dude, make this feel like it could be a job. Make people feel like they could be there for longer than 6 months.
Yeah.
If you are like, we just have really big turnover. There's a reason for
it
that.
It is what it is. Yeah. No, it's not. It is what it is. It's, like, there's a reason. There's always reasons.
100%. I think set up your staff to be there for a while. Invest in your staff, because it's only going to come back into you, and affect you in the long run. I think, you know, people want to be where they feel valued, this is now getting into kind of the role of the barista, but I think as a general manager, you're in charge of setting that culture, of setting your businesses. You are, you know, you're pushing everything that your business stands for into your team, and you're in charge of upholding that. And I think the main part is not making it feel like being a boss, but also being a friend, being
a human,
so much more. Yeah. Being a human,
like, caring for people.
100%. I think that's huge.
Huge part of the service industry.
Setting a standard.
Yeah.
I think is really, really important. Like, if you come into work and you feel tired and you're pissed off,
drop it at the door.
Because other people are going to see that. Other people are going to pick up on that. If you're a manager and you deal with that, you know, maybe you need a day off and you just need to reset. Yep. And if that's like a month of that, you know, maybe you should go look for a different job.
Yeah. Maybe you're not happy.
But I think, you know. I think
also, too, like, always be a student.
100%.
Like, and this goes for all everything, going back to, you know, business owner and roaster and management, like, be a student constantly. Always be learning something every shift. And if you're not learning something every shift, then learn something every week. Something new about an employee, something new about coffee, something new about yourself, something new about broken equipment that you didn't realize was broken. And also, one thing that we've said in the past is you have to know coffee to work in coffee. Wrong. I think we really do want to change that mindset into being a student and being, like you said, with the roaster, being willing to learn coffee to work in coffee. And that goes with any industry ever. You're not going to work in tech if you don't know anything about computers. This is not how it works. But you have to
look
be
at
willing
a code
to learn
and be
it.
Like, what the heck is that?
Yeah, it's like, oh, that's a
O's
lot
and
of
zeros.
Numbers.
One
yeah.
and zeros.
What, what does that mean?
I think you need to, as a GM, as a roaster, as a owner, I need to invite my baristas to the roastery. This is a roaster. If some baristas never even seen a roaster.
Some baristas don't even know what coffee looks like.
Green.
Green. And then also what it looks like on a plant.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is it comes from a
tree? Have good, I think, invest in your training. That's the most important.
Yeah,
and
huge.
You shouldn't expect, you know, coffee enthusiasts every single time you hire a barista.
Nope.
You know, it's your job to spark that flame and, you know, don't get frustrated. Most of the people that work in coffee enjoy their job a lot and really want to learn, but it's so much information. It is so much information. It's a lot. there's a lot of quote unquote rules and stuff, and you need to know that as a business owner and, mm-hmm. you know, guide them through that and spark that passion. And, you know, like, no one started off just being so passionate about coffee. I'm going to start watching YouTube videos and I'm going to get into this, this, and this. You know, it all started with a cafe. Yeah. It all started with a cafe.
Yeah.
Whether they had a drink from that cafe that they were like, holy crap, or an experience, or you started working at a cafe and you liked messing around with the coffees, it all started at some cafe. And I think you should strive to be that cafe as a business owner. And
yeah,
I think, you know, having patience and just being one cohesive group, like, yeah, you're a barista, you can't go into the roastery. Once every 2 weeks, once a month, once a week.
I dare you to say that.
Let's do a cupping. Everybody come here. The owner's going to be there. The roaster's going to be there. We're going to talk to you about our coffees.
And if it's better for everybody, let's set up in the cafe. Yeah. If this is a better point for you to meet
even,
up at.
Even just like, this is a cupping, I'm going to pay you to come try coffees.
Right. Yeah.
Come on. Like, let's hang out. Like, let's do this.
It should always be an investment into the people that work for you. I feel like a few will show up if it's a cupping and it's like, hey, come, you know, we're doing this thing. Like, just come join if you want. Like, yeah, a few will show up. But if you say, hey, guys, anyone who wants to, you'll get to clock in, come do a cupping. If they have a chance to get paid for it, you're going to open up a whole new lens mm-hmm. for them because they don't know this
and
stuff.
And it's like, oh, and then they get paid for it. I have to pay these people to like coffee. It's like,
yes.
Yes.
Yep. Sorry, bro.
The more people know about it, the better they're going to feel on the bar, the better they're going to, you know, serve your coffee, the better experience they're going to have, they're going to want to come into work. It's all this investment of the more educated and trained and comfortable someone is, the better they're going to serve, the more they're going to want to talk about it, the more, like, someone's first time, like, say I'm on bar, I'm serving this coffee, someone comes up to me, oh, I really like this. Yeah, I tried that last week. For the first time, I got to cup it at our roastery.
Yeah.
Our roastery was awesome. We do this thing called cupping where we taste the coffees. That's an experience I just had with the customer, which now, you know, maybe they come to our public cupping, or maybe they are curious about what even is a cupping.
Yeah.
Also, why is that, like, spoon so cool?
Yeah.
Like, just like different things like that.
Also, and it's like, that's also another spark for the customer to be like, oh, this person actually really cares about their job.
Yeah, this person just got really excited.
This person could be in school for, like, I don't know, cybersecurity, and really does not want to have a career in coffee, but at least they're excited about it now.
Yeah.
They're excited about this one coffee. It's like, especially if you're trying to push, like, fermentations and different types of processings and just kind of out there exotic coffees onto your market, like, public cuppings is a great way to do that, where they can taste it for free. Oh my God, you have to do something for free? Yeah, why not?
It's 11 grams of coffee.
It's 11 grams of coffee with a little bit of water, and then you sell a whole freaking bag of it for like $24. Exactly.
You'll sell this coffee, let me buy a bag. Yeah, 100%.
But also do the same thing for your team, because everything you do should be an investment into your team.
And it's still like a way that your team can hang out and get to know people.
Especially if you have multiple locations. Yeah. Like, most baristas don't work with other baristas, you know? And so I think getting everybody together, that's not a mandatory meeting. Jesus Christ. Like, the first time that someone meets someone from another cafe should not be because they're at a mandatory meeting where we're all about to get yelled at. So
where there's a big problem.
There's always a problem, yeah.
I think wrapping this episode up, you know, I think treating everybody equally because they're all representing your company, your brand, and setting them up for victory, setting them up to run smooth, is something that you should strive for as a business owner. Knowing your experience, I think, as well. Like, you might set up all these rules and checklists and flow of everything and have everything checked right, but if you go into your cafe and you're like, oh, well, people aren't doing this, and why does this kind of suck, and why are my reviews bad, and people aren't coming back?
It's like, why are we pulling at 17 grams? I thought it was supposed to be 19.
Yeah, it's like, just like small things like that. Like, know your company, care about it, and invest in it. I think that's the most important. Like, I think a lot of people are like, yeah, I'm going to own a business and I'm going to make a lot of money. It's like, nope.
Not in coffee. Not yet. Womp, womp. You're going to put so much money into this.
Yeah.
So why not? Why not, one, put your energy into it to make that money it worth what you're putting it into. And then also just seeing how far you can stretch your company and your reach and how you impact people.
Yeah, I think that's the big thing, is how you impact people. I think knowing your customer base and having physical relationships with people, I mean, not physical, but like actual relationships.
Not that kind of podcast.
Having actual relationships with your customers, doing community events, doing cuppings, doing even just hanging out in the bar. Hey, what's your name? What do you get? What Caleb, are you drinking?
I think I'm going to get
How was that pour over?
Oh.
How was that shot of espresso?
Oh, it was okay. Oh, what can didn't I you like about it?
Yeah. What can I do to enhance your experience?
It was a little bitter. Oh, let me pull you another one, actually. Let me, my bad. We haven't dialed it in a little bit. You know, in a few hours. Let me check that.
Yeah. 100%.
Give them another shot on the house. I mean, no one's going to ever turn down free coffee.
And it's so easy, too. Even as a barista, like this shot of espresso pulled really weird. I'm going to give him another one. Or I messed up on this. Here's your drink. Like, that's such a small little thing that you can do. Or maybe I had a 20-minute ticket time. Here's $5 off your next order.
Boom.
It's like such a little small thing that makes that customer feel like, oh, I don't really even care anymore.
Yeah, like, well, oh, also that was really it gives cool. them a chance to come back, too, when they probably don't want to. Like, I wait 25 minutes for a breakfast sandwich. I ain't coming back.
Mm.
Oh, I get 15% off my next order because they understand that this is not what usually happens, and they want me to have a second chance to really experience good service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, awesome. I'll buy into that every time.
Yeah, I think something I also kind of wanted to mention, and you kind of see this with more corporations, but I think it's important to have like check-ins. So it's like talking with my employees as a GM or even as an owner, like, all right, this is 3 months in, 6 months in, 1 month in. This is what I'm getting out of you. What do you need from me?
Yeah. Performance reviews. Oh, it always feels good to don't know
make
where
it,
you're at.
Yeah, don't make it feel like it's you're in the principal's office and you're talking.
No.
I think it's something that can be casual. You know, if someone's doing something wrong, like obviously you can be like a little bit of a principal. But I think not looking at that in a bad way, because it's only gonna improve your business, I feel like. But yeah, that's kind of everything together there. Just like everything flowing well. And I think, you know, last but not least, you know, your customer base. Yeah, I think as a customer, you know, if I walk into a place and I'm ordering and the barista doesn't know an answer to one of my questions, it's like, first, that's just like a little smaller, you know, like maybe they're new. But for me, I'm thinking like, oh, like they weren't really trained all the way.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. I'm not going to hold that against the barista.
There could be other contributing factors,
but however,
there are some questions where it's like, why don't you know that?
Yeah, or it's like, what's the processing on this coffee? What two coffees are in this blend?
I don't know. You'll have to ask our roaster. The roaster should be telling you.
Yeah, like, you should know that
every time. Yeah.
Or you know, what is a cortado? What's a flat? What's this thing on your menu that you're serving?
Let me get my manager. I don't want to hear that.
And it's like, obviously, if it's your first week, You get some grace. But if the manager of your store is the only person that can ask any question, I think that's a problem.
Little small issue.
And something that should be addressed.
Yeah. At the end of it all, be a student.
100%.
You're not God.
On all levels.
Yeah, you're not God. And then invest in your team.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Just invest. Be a resource.
And I think, you know, as a customer, What should be going through your head? Like, how was your experience? Every part of it. And if you don't know what to look at, it's the difference between like, was my milk oversteamed? Was this good? Like, was this genuinely
even if you don't
a
know
good experience? Like,
yeah, that yeah. It goes back to the basics. It's like the same things that you think make a bad experience at McDonald's can make it a bad experience at a locally owned cafe. Like mm-hmm. that doesn't matter how. Doesn't matter the name on the cafe.
Yeah.
If you had a bad experience, you had a bad experience.
Yeah. And at the end of the day, it's also your experience. So what one person prefers might be not the same to what another person prefers. And who are they to tell you that, you know, that sucks. But also support good businesses. Tip your baristas. And show support to the things that you enjoy, I guess.
Yeah, we'll end this episode with
passion is power, dude.
Yeah, with something that we just realized we could do. I just realized that we could see comments on our podcast. So if you've commented, we haven't seen it in a while. So sorry, but we've read them now, and we actually have a question about. Let me get the name. Oh my gosh,
it's Tyler B.
Tyler B.
Tyler B.
Tyler B. 459. So Tyler B. says, please talk more about pros and cons of freezing versus not freezing your coffee. I freeze mine, but I don't really know what it does. Say less, man.
Yeah, so this is something I actually got in a conversation. So freezing coffee is a way to kind of preserve that coffee. If you don't necessarily normally go through coffee really fast, this is something that you can do. Cafes do this. If you go to Proud Mary, all of their kind of higher-end coffees are frozen.
That's cool.
And they immediately grind them, which kind of de-thaws them, and then you brew over it.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just the one kind of example I can think of. You can find different things online. It's kind of weird because some people say, like, don't do this. It ruins your cut. No.
No, there's no actual proof that it like, breaks down coffee in any way.
Regardless, time's still passing, so it's going to degrade a little bit, but you're not going to be losing as much as it would be, you know, just sitting out on your counter. If you have something that can take the air out of it, if you have a vacuum sealer and you're able to freeze it, that's the best option.
Yeah.
If you have a plastic bag and you put your coffee in the freezer, that works too. It's just a way to kind of preserve all of those aroma molecules and different things inside your coffee.
Yeah, all the different volatile compounds that come off as it ages. Also, like, a good rule of thumb, too, is, like, it's weird. But if you're not going through one bag of coffee within about a month or a month and a half, I would say maybe think about freezing your coffee. Just because you want it to stay. Coffee's constantly degassing and oxidizing all the time. It's a slow process, really. Like, even if you've had a bag for, like, 2 months, it's still fine. Mm-hmm. I think you're getting towards the end of its, like, peak. But it's still fine. Like, some newer coffees with newer processings and, like, lighter roasts require, like, a month to a month and a half.
I've even had a coffee that tastes great after 2 months.
Yeah. So really play around with it. But also, like, if you're – say it's just, like, a regular bag of, like, some blend from a – like, an espresso blend from a cafe, like, something like that. If you're not going through it within about a month to a month and a half, maybe put it in the freezer to hold it where it's at.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't, like, as soon as you buy a bag of coffee – put it in the freezer. I wouldn't do that. Don't stress about it too much.
100%.
But if you like where it's at and you're like, oh, I know I'm not going to go through this within the next 2 weeks, but I really like where it's at now, throw it in the freezer.
Mm-hmm. I think I do this with my higher end coffees just because it's like, oh, I'm going to save this for one day. I want to try this again. Or I think I still have one of like the first coffees I tried from Pepe is in there.
That's cool.
Or, yeah, it actually is still in there.
Yeah, also, like, sometimes those higher-end coffees are, like, weird processing methods, and it's not something I want every day.
Yeah.
So I just, like, just go through it a lot slower. But, yeah, just throw it in the freezer. It's not going to hurt anything.
Nope.
It doesn't hurt anything, so if that's what you're asking, you're good.
Yeah.
I think if you put all your coffee in the freezer
probably cap it at – I mean, I've seen coffees – 2 years old in freezers. You even go into like Rosslyn in London, they had a section of their retail that was frozen coffees from different roasters. And you had various Panamanian coffees and Colombian coffees and different processing methods, like bigger names, and it was just 50 grams frozen. And you could buy it there, which
that's
is kind of
cool.
Sick.
Yeah, I didn't know. That's awesome. Shout out Rosslyn.
But that's the episode. I think it was a little random, but I also think you can gain a lot of stuff, whether you're the industry or not. But again, like just going back to, you know, what Sidecar preaches about is just like being passionate and caring about what you do and just constantly representing your brand as a person, you know, whether you're a roaster, business owner, general manager, or a barista. You not only are representing your company, but you are representing yourself. You're serving people. You're in charge of people. And I think building a personal brand that you're proud of and that you can hold yourself accountable to, I think is very, very important in any industry that you're in. Because you're going to come to work, you know, I do this. I'm a hard worker. I don't cut corners. I hold myself responsible to do this. And just like what, you know, keep adding to your personal resume that you want to show off, I guess, is just kind of like a good way to think about it.
Yeah.
Boom.
That's it.
Sidecar.
Sidecar back.
Keep your eye out. We're actually posting on social media.
Yeah.
We're going to do it.
We'll be posting in the next like few days. I don't know. Next week. We haven't even said it in a freaking episode yet, but it's out so we can talk about it. But, we're doing a collab event.
We haven't even talked about it. We're doing a collab event with Upshot, the cafe I worked at this summer. We are doing a collaboration with them.
Yep.
And it's going to be like a little St. Louis coffee hangout. We're going to do a latte art competition, but we also have Narrow Gauge Brewing is going to be there.
Yep. Free beer.
We'll be having some beer, brewskis. If you don't drink, you can still come for the hangs.
Yep.
We might hang out.
Some coffees too.
Me and Caleb will be,
we'll be
brewing
there.
Coffee, pouring coffee, and smiling at a lot of people.
You can't see this, but we just smiled at each other. Cool moment.
Shout out Narrow Gauge. Yep. It's going to be pretty sick.
It's going to be really cool.
Winner gets a WPM pitcher. Second and third get some coffee. It'll be pretty cool.
Yeah. August 29th at 6?
6 p.m.
Yep.
Central
August 29th.
Standard time.
6 p.m. Central Standard Time.
At in Upshot Break Shop. In
Charles,
St. Charles.
Technically. But
off
St. Louis.
Kings Highway.
Off Kings Highway. Break Shop location.
That's it.
Yeah. So if you're in St. Louis.
In the wild.
Yeah. If you're in the Lou. Or around the Lou, we want to see you. Even if you don't work in coffee and you listen, just pop out. It's going to be a fun time to hang.
You can even just say what's up. Get a firm handshake and dip.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to this episode.
We give some firm handshakes, so everybody
damn
should
straight.
Show out.
Eye contact. Don't get lost in these eyes. All right.
Poopy browns.
Mine are green. Anyway, we'll see you guys.